This message is another example of me not being creative and good, but God working through me. As you know, Pastor Forney asked me to give a lesson to bring the message this morning. And as he started doing that, I began to think about what I was going to talk about. And as God gave me the message, along the way, little things happened that lined up for this message to be brought. All the way up to this morning, getting dressed even, which I'm going to get to here in a minute, God brought something to me. And even just now, the fact that the praise team ended with Run to the Father, because I said, that song will go really good with this message. But I didn't tell them, so hope they do it. And sure enough, they did. Praise God. This morning, I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to use the holiday coming up, Halloween, for this message. Now, I am not protesting or advocating for Halloween. I am not pro, anti, anything. I really couldn't care less about the holiday. This is another day that people can sell stuff to make money to me, to be honest. I don't find it as evil or positive. If you do, that's your conviction in between you and God. I don't want you to get hung up on that. I want you to get hung up on the message that God has through that. You know, Halloween, what happens is young children, old children, sometimes adults, get dressed up, right? They wear these costumes, and they have this one night of fun or mischief or whatever else you want to call about it, and go out and get candy, or you go to Halloween parties, or you go to haunted houses, or you go to hay rides, you go to bonfires, whatever you do on Halloween is what you do, right? But I want you to focus on the getting dressed up. And we get dressed up in these costumes. Even so, we even put on masks. And that's what I'm going to focus on, with the masks. We put these masks on, and we almost teleport or transport into a different dimension, if you will. We become someone or something else. So we think. Give a little bit of example. My nephew Mason, of course, Milton Darius' son, he has a wild imagination like most kids do. And because of this imagination, they'll see things and try to replicate them, right? And so Mason is stuck on the Wildcrats right now. Wildcrats are this cartoon. I don't really know much about it, but I know that there's these things called creature powers. And Mason uses these creature powers, and he does these things every single day. And he'll say, activate shark powers, and a shark will appear, or he'll become, oh, yeah, shark powers, right? I remember one time after church, it was myself and Pops who were sitting around, and he said, activate alligator powers. I think it was like a stick or something on the ground. He goes, that's an alligator now. We were like, no, it's not. But in his mind, that became an alligator, right? So before that, though, Mason was hung up on Spider-Man. And Mason loved Spider-Man. He was being Spider-Man, did the Spider-Man moves. Even one day, he showed up with a Spider-Man mask. And I walk into church, and I see him with his Spider-Man mask on, and he goes, stop, evil rhino. And I was like, time out. First of all, chill out. I know we're playing make-believe, but that's a fat joke. It's not funny. You know what I'm saying? But come to find out, he's watching the Spider-Man cartoon, and there is an evil rhino guy on there. And I was like, okay, well, still tread lightly. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm the evil rhino. He's Spider-Man. So we're playing. We're going back and forth. He's doing the Spider-Man moves. And, you know, after a while, it's okay. Mason, I'm done playing Spider-Man. Let's stop. And he's like, nope, we're still playing Spider-Man till I'm done, right? So he keeps going, keeps going. And he goes to do a move. And so I grab him by his little foot and kind of hang him upside down. And he's struggling, you know. And he's he's doing the web thing, right? And he's like, and as bad as he wants to shoot that web out, it's not going to come out, because Mason, in fact, is not Spider-Man. But with that mask on, he became that guy, right? So much so that he does it. And I'll never forget this, because Mason stopped being Spider-Man. He started being Mason again. He said, Daddy, help. And here comes Darius. He goes, what's wrong? I said, oh, let me put him down. So, you know, Dad's here to save the day type thing. And so at that moment, Spider-Man's out the window. It's Daddy, help. I'm Mason again. Come save me from the evil rhino uncle, whatever. That's what happens with us as Christians. We put on these masks. We put on these veils. We put up these barriers, if you will, that hide us, and we think hide us from who we truly are or who we're truly supposed to be. This last week, we went on a fall retreat with the youth from John 3:16, and the theme was hashtag no filter. And filters, if you guys don't know, are these things that are on social media, in particular on Snapchat, that cover up things that we don't want seen. For instance, if you have maybe a little pimple, or your makeup's not quite right, or you have some blemishes, or your hair, whatever it is, you can use what's called the Beautify filter, and it will make you pretty or beautiful. And these filters will come on, right? I remember looking at some of these memes, and it's like, it'll be somebody looking really, really ugly in one part and really pretty in the other part. And it's like, well, hashtag no filter. And that's what we were talking about at our retreat, was hashtag no filters, removing these things that we use to block, or remove these things that we use to cover up who we're truly supposed to be. A lot of times we as Christians live through these things called filters, or we wear these masks that we're not supposed to wear. So much so that it gets to the point where some people have to ask who you really are. Who are you truly? Because you wear these masks, or are you hiding behind a mask? Once again, as you guys know, because you know me well, I love the Marvel series. And so we're about to get into that here in just a minute. We're going to use Marvel this morning to talk about masks. And the first video here in just a minute I'm going to show you guys is about Spider-Man. So Spider-Man, we talked about, is a Marvel superhero. And this is from Spider-Man number 2, which is the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man. In the first Spider-Man, he gets his powers, he becomes Spider-Man, and Tobey Maguire, his character, Spider-Man Peter Parker, fights evil, and this is the evil antagonist of that film is the Goblin. Now, the Green Goblin goes around destroying things, and Spider-Man has to stop him. He actually ends up killing him at the end of that film. Well, the Green Goblin has a son, and his son sees Spider-Man kill his dad, and so in his mind, Spider-Man is this evil person, and he will not stop until he can unmask Spider-Man and kill him like he killed his dad. He even says in this clip that he wants him to go through the same pain that he went through, not realizing that Spider-Man is actually his best friend, Peter Parker. So if you'll play that clip for me, Melody.
You want to get to him, you got to go through me.
And me.
Me too.
Very well.
Tritium.
Are you going to stop it there? So, Harry was shocked when he removed the mask, and it was his best friend, Peter Parker. Would people be shocked if they removed the mask of Christian and found out you were underneath it? Would they be shocked? You know, it reminds me of the old Scooby-Doo cartoons, right? So Scooby-Doo and his gang are going through these scary, terrible places, or they're going to some place even not scary, but there's an evil monster that is running through and terrorizing the city, the town, or the place. And their job is to solve the mystery. When they finally solve the mystery, they get the monster captured in this crazy, outlandish trap. And they say, let's see who's been causing all this mischief. And they'll pull the mask and be like, oh, that's old Mr. Jenkins from down the street or whatever it is, right? And they're shocked because this is this nice old man that was actually really good to them. But he's this monster underneath. And he becomes this monster. Would that same thing happen to you if somebody were to pull off your mask? Let's say your Halloween costume, if you will, was Christian. And they unmasked this Christian and they saw you. Would they be shocked? Would they be shocked, as shocked as Harry was, just that Peter was behind the Spider-Man mask? Matthew 16, chapter 13 through 16, it says this. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do the people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Now, hear me well. We do not do things for the approval of man, ever. Our identity and our worth is found in that of Jesus Christ. Comma. But if the greater majority of people couldn't tell me that so-and-so is a Christian, you have to ask yourself, am I unmasked and producing fruits, or am I putting all these filters that people don't even know who I am? But the fact of the matter is Spider-Man, everybody loves Spider-Man except for two people in the series. Well, multiple people that were evil didn't like him. All his bad guys didn't like him. But the two people who did not like him in the series was number one, the newspaper editor, because he always painted him in his bad picture. And number two was Harry. Everybody else, Spider-Man's the greatest ever. He's a savior. He comes and he helps us all out. He does away with evil. He's the best. But two people. So two people out of millions, I would venture to say that those two people are wrong. But if I would go to people in your life, and the greater majority of them would tell me like, oh, I didn't know so-and-so was a Christian. I didn't know they went to church. I didn't know they served on the praise team. I didn't know they were a deacon. I didn't know they were a missionary. I didn't know they did this and did that. You have to ask yourself, man, am I wearing filters? Am I putting on these masks when I leave this place? I'm sure anybody in this place would say, everybody in this room, oh yeah, they're all Christians. Or they believe in Jesus. Would the people at your workplace say the same thing? Would the people at the ball fields, the people at the grocery store, that person that you cut off in traffic, the police officer pulled you, no, okay. Would they say the same thing? You have to ask yourself that question. Like I said, it's not for the approval of man, but also, God said you'll know them by their fruits. And if you're producing fruits, people are going to be like, yeah, they're a Christian. They're not perfect. Nobody is. But I would say, yeah, they believe in Jesus and they follow him. So number one, we got to make sure that people know who we are because we imitate and identify with Jesus Christ. Has nothing to do with our abilities. Has nothing to do with how good we think we are, how we sound. The fact of the matter is, because we reflect Jesus Christ, people know who we are. And that is those who are image bearers of Christ. That's number one. If we can't get to that point, then we need to start taking away some filters, unmasking some things. Number two. Like I told you, whenever I was getting dressed, number two point was already there, but I needed a visual for it. I didn't have one. I was like, man, I had a visual for that. I got a visual for the first one and the third one. I got a visual for the second one. And so I'm racking my brain for a visual for the second one. The second one is this, what is done in the dark will come to the light. So you can put on any mask you want to. You can filter as much as you want to. The fact of the matter is, at the end of the day, you still got to be you. Mason Josiah put on that Spider-Man mask, and in his mind, he may have began Spider-Man, but at the end of the day, he knew, I'm Mason. And I knew that I can't save myself. Who do I got to run to? I got to run to my dad. What do you do? He yelled out, Daddy. Nothing against Mommy, nothing against anybody else, but he yelled out, Daddy. He didn't yell out T.T., which he loves T.T. He didn't yell out Nani. He loves Nani and Papa. He yelled out, Daddy. The same way in your life, when it comes down to it, and all those masks ripped away, there's only one way. Only one way. That's Jesus Christ. So we're all going to yell out, Father, Abba, Daddy, Messiah, whatever you want to say. We're all going to yell it out one day. But what's done in the dark will come to the light. As sneaky as you think you are, you're not. I work with teenagers. And I remember when I was a teenager, I probably thought I was pretty slick too. But, you know, we're at this fall retreat, and of course, they're the couples, their boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever else you have, you right? And I remember I was preparing for one of the lessons, sitting on the couch in this retreat area, and I see one of the couples. They're separated at this point. The young lady kind of falling asleep on the couch a little bit. Young man's falling asleep in another chair somewhere else, right? So I'm just watching, typing and watching, looking on my computer screen. I'm like, they think they're slick. I know it. I'm going to watch them. And sure enough, he wakes up and realizes that she's on the other couch. So he goes to the other couch. So I said, okay. They're still separated. There's a cushion in between. I'm still watching, though. And she kind of wakes up and sees and realizes he's on the couch. So she switches her position to lay her head into his lap. And I guess I thought I couldn't see him. And I just waited. I was, I'm going to see if he actually gets to his lap. Right before I said, ah! And they, well, you would have thought I shot a gun off. Because they jumped. I was like, yeah, I see you. Scoot on back over. Lean on back that way, right? And so then again, they do this again. And you know, they're still on the same couch. They're falling asleep or whatever. And I see her feet now start to slide up onto the couch. I said, no, this little girl's not. I know she's not. I'm just waiting. As soon as her feet get, ah! She goes, no, that's not my head. I was like, I know what body part it is, girl. Get your feet on the floor, right? And then, of course, they have to try one more time, do something else, right? And so they're both upright, and she's kind of scooting a little bit closer to him. I was like, I'm still watching, still enough room, we're good. But she has a blanket, and she goes to put a little corner of that blanket over him. And I said, I know she's not going to try to get under this blanket with this boy, with me sitting right here. Ain't no way, right? Wrong. So she slides it again. I said, girl, all right, so now you go sit back in your chair and you sit in that couch. No, no. It's like, no, you had your chances. So we got to separate. Obviously, there's too much temptation here for y'all to do. But once again, they thought they were slick. And we think sometimes that we're so slick. Or we think that, oh, God doesn't know what's going on. Or even that people don't know what's going on in our lives. You cannot hide from the truth. I'm going to say that again. You cannot hide from the truth. The truth being the truth of the matter. The truth being Jesus Christ. You cannot hide from the truth. It's always going to come out. What is done in the dark will always come to the light. Now, I was getting dressed this morning, like I said. And I was, me and my wife decided we're going to wear our Seek Jesus hoodies. And I said, man, I got to, you know, if you know me, for some reason, I don't know why I'm like this, but I love socks. I'm a huge sock person, right? And so for Christmas, I got all these socks for Christmas. And the socks that happen to go with this hoodie are my Loki socks. And so as I'm putting on my Loki socks, I said, that's the visual. There it is. I pull these socks up and I said, Loki. And so, Mel, if you'll play that second video for me, you'll see that Loki in the Avengers, and Loki is the god, I put quotes on that because he's not really a god, obviously, but he's the god of mischief. And Loki has been using deception for this entire movie to thwart or to crush the Avengers so they can't save the world. And so you'll see what happens here in this clip.
There's not many people who can sneak up on me.
But you figured I'd come.
After whatever tortures fury can concoct, he would appear as a friend, as a balm. And I would cooperate.
I want to know what you've done to Agent Barton.
I'd say I've expanded his mind.
And once you've won, once you're the king of the mountain, what happens to his mind?
Is this love, Agent Ramanoff?
Love is for children. I owe him a debt.
Tell me.
Before I worked for S.H.I.E.L.D., I made a name for myself. I have a very specific skill set. I didn't care who I used it for. Or on. I got on Shield's radar in a bad way. Agent Barton was sent to kill me. He made a different call.
And what will you do if I vow to spare him?
Not let you out.
Oh, no, but I like this. Your world in the balance, and you bargain for one man.
Regimes fall every day. I tend not to weep over that. I'm Russian, where I was.
And what are you now?
It's really not that complicated. When I got red in my ledger, I'd like to wipe it out.
Can you? Can you wipe out that much red? Dreykov's daughter? Sao Paulo? The hospital fire? Barton told me everything. Your ledger is dripping. It's gushing red, and you think saving a man no more virtuous than yourself will change anything? This is the basest sentimentality. This is a child's prayer. Pathetic! You lie and kill. In the service of liars and killers. You pretend to be separate, to have your own code. Something that makes up for the horrors. But they are part of you. And they will never go away. I won't touch Barton, not until I make him kill you. Slowly, intimately, in every way he knows you fear. And then he'll wake just long enough to see his good work. And when he screams, I'll split his skull. This is my bargain, you mewling Quinn.
You're a monster.
Oh, no. You called the monster.
So, Banner. That's your play. Loki means to unleash the Hulk. Keep Banner in the lab. I'm on my way. Send Thor as well. Thank you for your cooperation.
Wow. So, Loki thought he was so slick. He had this plan. He's been so mischievous and underhanded this whole entire movie to the point where his plan is about to come into fruition and it's going to work. But the thing about it is he forgets that what's done in the dark does come to the light. So much so that he even told on himself in this clip. What we do, what we think we're doing, what we think we're getting away with, we're not. What you think, what the others think they're getting away with, they're not. Yeah, maybe we don't see what's going on, but the Father God in heaven does. So what's done in the dark will come to the light. I had a friend tell me one time, I can't be held responsible for what drunk me does. Or I can't be held responsible for what yesterday me said. I said, oh, yeah, you can. Because you're still you. And because you're still you, you're going to be held responsible no matter what. No matter what drunk you said, no matter what 10 years ago you said, you're going to be held responsible if you don't give your life to Jesus Christ. Because if you give your life to Jesus Christ, then, yeah, those things happened, and they're terrible that they happened. And maybe even on this earth sometimes you have to be held responsible for those things, but when you get to heaven, God's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. If you give your life to him and live your life according to what he's called us to do. But if you don't do that, then yeah, you're going to be held responsible. Peter Parker was Spider-Man. Spider-Man's Peter Parker. He couldn't say to Harry, Spider-Man's who killed your dad. Because he is Spider-Man. Because just because you put the mask on is making somebody different. And so, though he righteously killed his dad, he was still responsible for his father's death. He couldn't say Spider-Man did it. Just like you can't say, well, that was yesterday me. I didn't do that today. That was yesterday me. Well, that was drunk me. That was not sober me. That was angry me. So I should get an out, or I should get a jail-free card. No. Though those things happen, nobody's perfect. You still have to answer for what you did, because that is you, no matter how you dress yourself up. So we've talked about it. Rip away the mask so people know exactly who you are. Know that what's going to be done in the dark will come to the light. So you might as well go ahead and rip that mask off anyways and live in your truth. So I saw the negative. So what's the positive? So what does it look like to live out loud? What does it look like, especially as Christians, to be those who live without masks or filters? We look at Iron Man. Iron Man is one of my favorite characters in Marvel, not because of that, of what he does or his abilities, but because of his development through the whole series. You see, Iron Man, who is Tony Stark, played by Robert Downey Jr., in the first Iron Man is when he becomes Iron Man, right? He becomes this entity, if you will, or this hero, and he saves people. Well, he does a good job by ripping that mask off. At the very end, people are asking about Iron Man, and he's like, well, I'm Iron Man. But he doesn't do it because he wants to live in his truth. He does it because he wants the accolades. He does it because he wants people to say, see, look, I'm Iron Man. That was me. I did that. I've been doing this. I've been the one who's, you know, the one you guys have been praising so much. I'm the one you want to be, giving all your praise to. Not this guy, not this suit. The suit of armor is what I wear, but I am Iron Man, right? And he's so proud and so boastful about it. Whereas other characters or other superheroes stay secret, their secret identity, or they stay covered up and hidden. And when you watch these characters or these superheroes in these movies, they get burdensome almost, you know what I mean? Like, oh my gosh, like, to keep that secret for so long, it's got to be hard. Though they have to, it's got to be hard. Like the song Run to the Father said, you know, I've carried this burden for far too long on my own. Iron Man didn't have to carry that burden because he told people who he was. But like I said, it was for the wrong reason, because he wanted the accolades and he wanted the praise. So the question is then, how do we live out loud? How do we live out loud and live our truth as we're supposed to do as Christians? It's this verse right here. It's John 13, 33 to 35. This is where I'll spend most of my time in close. Starting in 33, my children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me. Just as I told the Jews, so tell you now, where I'm going, you cannot come. But a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So what does it look like to live a life unfiltered? Loving one another. Unashamedly, unequivocally, unhindered, loving one another. And most importantly, unconditionally. Loving one another. That's how people will know. That's how you live with no filters, no masks. Because the fact of the matter is this. I can tell you all day I'm a Christian. I can tell you all day I love Jesus and I follow him. But if I don't show you the love of Christ, it does not matter. It does not matter. I can say all day, I'm going to give you the shirt off my back. I'm going to give you the shoes off my feet. Then you come to me shirt and shoeless, and I say, hey, you know, over at the thrift store, shirt's only 99 cents, shoes only $2. That's not me doing the same thing, right? That shirt should come off. Those shoes should come unlaced. Here you go. I can say all day I would sacrifice and give for you until the time comes. Sacrifice and give. And then I don't. This last clip. It's from Endgame. Like I said, Tony Stark, Iron Man, is one of my favorite character developments throughout this whole thing. He was so enthralled and wrapped up in being the guy, being the one, being the most popular, the most loved, being the strongest, being the smartest, being, for lack of a better term, the most famous, that he would not really sacrifice too much. In the first two Avengers films, he did sacrifice. He sacrificed himself to kill the Chitauri that came, sacrifice and stuff to stop the robots and Ultron. But in this clip, you'll see him do what God's called all of us to do. And so if we'll pull up that Iron Man clip for me real quick.
Thank you.
can tell that time when he said, I am Iron Man. It was not a boastful way. It was, this is my truth. I'm going to live in it. I am Iron Man. When we live a life with the love of Jesus Christ pouring out of us, evil literally erases. Literally erases. Dr. Martin Luther King said, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Evil can't drive out evil. Only love can do that. So when we do that, we live in that love, evil will erase the planet. But the problem is we're not all living in that truth. We as Christians are continuing to wear masks, we're continuing to have filters that are keeping us from being who we're supposed to be. Maybe it's our feelings. You're like, what? I'm supposed to have feelings. Yes, you are. You're human. You're going to have feelings. But when your feelings get in the way of the mission of Jesus Christ, we're wrong. I'm going to say right now, we're wrong. I know that sounds bad. That sounds like that's not right to say, but it is wrong because Jesus Christ was not on the cross worried about his feelings. Jesus Christ did not carry the cross of Calvary thinking, man, these evil so-and-sos spitting on me, kicking me, I'm going to die for these people. That's not what he's doing. Even as they were driving the spikes into his hands, he said, forgive them, Father, because they know not what they do. Jesus Christ didn't have an attitude on the cross because he had a bad day, because somebody made him mad or said something wrong to him. Now, obviously, we're not Jesus, but we're supposed to strive to be like him. And if we're not getting closer to that way, we're only getting further away. Because there's no in between. Either you're getting closer to Jesus or further away from Jesus. You're not going to stay right here and be stagnant. Either you're getting closer or further away. And so, on your bad days, somebody upsets you, somebody makes you mad, gives you a bad look, says something that rubs you the wrong way, love them anyways. Somebody cuts you off in traffic, love them anyways. A coworker's not pulling their weight, love them anyways. A friend of yours is acting out and being silly, correct them, but you love them anyways. That's what we're called to do as Christians. Because if we do that, those filters and those masks are removed, and people are like, dang, even when I tick that dude or that girl off, they still love me. There must be something different about them. You can tell them, yeah, it's Jesus Christ. It's not my ability or my capacity to love you. Because once again, like the song says, I don't have a context for that kind of love. I don't. And the cool thing about that song, I love the chorus. It says, I run to the Father. I fall in the grace. I'm done with the hiding. There's no reason to wait. There's no reason. So you, today, if you're hiding from the Father or running away from him, you don't have to keep doing that. You can turn right around, let your arms out. You don't have to walk. Just let your arms out and fall right into grace. Whether it's for the first time, call him Savior, or you're coming back to him saying, you know what? I've been wearing masks. I've been hiding behind filters. But I need to live my truth. I am a child of God. I am who he says I am, a child of God. Yes, I am. And if you're going to do that and live in that truth, that means taking off those filters, removing that mask. So that way, whenever somebody does remove that mask later on, don't be surprised to see you behind it. If you were to have a Halloween costume that said, follow Jesus Christ, and that mask comes off, somebody should be like, oh, you didn't even need that costume because you know that truth every single day. Yeah, I got to be transformed to Spider-Man. I got to be transformed to Black Panther. I got to be transformed into a ghost. But if the costumes fall of Jesus Christ, I wear that mask every single day. Because it's not a mask, because I'm me living in my truth. So live in that truth. Follow Jesus Christ. And if you're not, and you claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ, take off that mask. Remove the filters. Love those who God's called us to love, which is give away everyone. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this time you've given us. Father God, just for this message you brought to me. Father God, because I know that you were speaking to me about this message in my own life. Father God, those times that we have filters, those times that we wear these masks to cover up sometimes. Father God, let us remember that we must remove those things. Everything done in the dark will come to the light. So whatever we do in the dark, we would do in the light. If we can live lives that way, Father God, we don't be ashamed of anything. Father God, as we go throughout this place and live our lives and interact with people, let us remember we must love them. They will know we're your followers because of the way we love them, just as you loved us. So, Father God, we don't have a context. We don't have a capacity except for through your Holy Spirit. So we're praying, Father God, that you help us to always be those who are preaching, talking about your love, those who are showing love, those who come in contact with, Father God, so that they know who you are, come into a relationship with you, and the kingdom can be furthered, and those who are running away can be led to the throne. Father God, anybody in the sound of my voice here today, over the phone, that is running away from you, maybe has not called upon you the first time, maybe needs to come back to you, Father God, start removing those masks and those filters. I pray that you'd give them a burden to do that. Give them a conviction in their hearts, coming from nothing but the Holy Spirit, that says, hey, I need to stop running. Done with the hiding, no reason to wait. Our heart doesn't a surgeon and a friend. So where we go, we run to the Father again and again and again. I thank you, Father, for this time. In your name I pray. Amen.